You're listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the OR Podcast Network. Join Rabbi Joey as he guides us through the world and major works of Kabbalah, Hasidic masters, and Jewish philosophy, shedding light on the inner life of the soul.
Okay, so Be'ezras Hashem, continuing with the light of Purim leading up to the light of Pesach, connecting redemption to redemption, one of the ways of really kind of moving out of a Purim towards a Pesach is really questioning the process of endings, questioning the process of how do I take away this light of Purim, how do I take away this light which is always there, obviously, but not necessarily as active at the forefront of my mind, how do I take away from an experience of Purim, irrespective of what I felt about Purim, but Purim itself happened to each person, as we said, how do I bring that down into a practical place? Because very often, if a person experienced something essential on Purim, the nature of the essential thing that's revealed on Purim, by definition, cannot be applied, cannot be transported into the way that we function in times that are not Purim. Because Purim is a breakage of time. Purim is a revelation of a different order of time that comes from an ancient place that is also future because it's so ancient that we can only grasp it by way of the future. But Purim is the beginning and Purim is the end. It reveals the nature of things as they truly are at the core of all things. That it's Ein Oid Milvado or Ein Soif Leis Asar Panimine Haman Mordechai, no distinction, because ultimately everything is part and parcel of the revealed unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bein Be Concealment, Bein Be Revelation. And that we'll never understand anything. That Moichin is always the bottom line. That Moichin is always there. Purim saturates reality. But ultimately, the tachlis is to come out and live in a Pesach orientation and to live in a mindset where I'm working towards a goal, where I'm trying to grow. And if I keep my mind oriented towards those Purim Moichin in an active sense, it will, one way or another, take away from the need to apply the nature of Purim into practical vessels. Purim doesn't have practical vessels. Purim, by definition, reveals that the vessels are as unpractical as the lights because they're refined. They're refined spirituality. And Memela, there doesn't necessarily have to be a practical outcome from Purim itself. But when a person wants to transport or translate the light of Purim into the time opposite than Purim, so then we have to figure out how to take a little bit of the light that we experienced or the experience of boredom on Purim, whatever it was, Purim happened, and the drawing down of the mindset of Purim and the Nekuda HaPnimis, the innermost point that a person comes to, even for a split second during the day, at whatever framework of the day it takes place, which is the deep recognition that everything is okay, I'm all right, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here, there, everywhere, and there's nothing apart from Him. In the greatest hopes, in the greatest fears, in the greatest concerns, in the greatest expectations, there is no part of myself, no part of reality, no part of any other person, especially those that I love. There is no part of anything that is removed from the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That light of Purim, that Hitznoitzitzos, that spark of Purim, that crumb of Purim that each and every person experienced, it doesn't necessarily find the translation into daily experience because that light is beyond knowledge. So how does one draw down? How does one create a bridge to bring something that is beyond knowledge into the space where we function with knowledge? How do we draw the light of Purim, which shatters the notion of normal functioning? How do we draw the light of Purim into normal functioning itself? How do we draw that light into practicality where, even though I might not be experiencing Purim as is, because there's one day where a person experiences Purim as is, nevertheless, I can tap into the mindset of Purim and apply it in practical ways so that it can help me lead myself to the next Geula, which is the Geula of Pesach. And so very often the light, nearly always, the light has to be commensurate with the Kli, and the Kli has to be commensurate with the light. That the nation of receptivity within the self, the nature of drawing a spiritual idea or a new way of looking into my inner life so that it can begin to affect me on a psychological, emotional, and practical level for the better, means that that light needs to have some place within the self on a practical level that identifies with it. There's a certain knowing that takes place when a person hears an idea in Pnimiyas HaTorah, or a person has a Chiddush in Torah, that that idea, that abstract, ethereal idea, knows exactly where it needs to be applied if a person has their ears attuned to the medicinal capacity of Torah. So the secret of what Chazal said, that in truth, there's not one letter of the Torah that does not have the power to be Mechayim Esim if a person comes into the Torah like a dead person without the Torah. In the secret of Tiras Hashem Tamima Meshivas Nafesh, if a person is aware that they have lost something essential and that the only way to find it in return is by the tzaddik, is by the Torah, is by a Kaddish Baruch Hu, then the Torah offers its gifts. Then the tzaddikim offer their gifts. Because then the Torah hits. Then the Torah becomes medicine and it gives a person the koyach to survive. And so when it comes to this nature of listening to Torah and hearing a Torah and figuring out exactly where it needs to be niklat, exactly where this idea, which ache or pain and experience is going to be redeemed if I think enough about this idea, or even if I remember that this idea exists, let alone rests hidden in the books of all of our tzaddikim. So there's a certain nechama that comes with it. When the Torah, the medicine, hits the area that's sick or tired, so it's that vessel that has to be able to receive that type of Torah. And so the oros always have to be matim to the kelim. We always have to ensure that there is a reasonable space in which we can incorporate this spiritual principle, this idea. Therefore, any idea or spiritual experience that exists far beyond the confines of a kli is what's referred to as riboy or. If there's no kli for it, then it's meant to exist by way of unawareness and unfeeling, and it's not meant to be experienced in a felt way. Because if something is felt in spite of the fact that it can't be properly integrated, then it creates a disbalance between lights and vessels. But there are klal, it has to be min bimino, and even though the vessels and the lights are separate externally, nevertheless internally they're made up of the same material as the Ari is Masbir in Oilam Ha'ikudim, that the Kalim are just congealed light. Nevertheless, there has to be a similarity, it has to be min bimino. And therefore, if the light of Purim is a light of unknowing, it's a light of not knowing anything, so then the vessel that holds on to that light of Purim is also going to be that part of ourselves that continues to function in not knowing anything, even throughout the year when we live in accordance with the laws of knowing something. Yes, it's wonderful to come to the deep place of not knowing anything, and that place exists within us at every moment. But at the same point, living in a world where knowledge is meant to bring about the secret of not knowing, which means that my task for the rest of the year is to try and know everything. How do I draw down the light of not knowing into the vessels of knowing? It means that that knowing has to also incorporate within itself not knowing. And so within the self, there exists a place of knowing and not knowing at the same time. It's not just not knowing. It's not just the light of Purim where I know that I don't know. Here, it's not knowing, knowing that I don't know, but also in a certain way, knowing enough to be able to translate that into some practical knowledge with the confidence that, yeah, this works because I say it works. This works because the tzaddikim say it works. And that transition from not knowing anything completely and not even knowing that we don't know, that light of Purim needs to make its way into Pesach, which is the time of Yediyah, through the kli within the self that knows that it doesn't know, yet in spite of knowing that it can't know, makes a courageous choice to choose to live as if it knows, in spite of the fact that every aspect of knowledge is saturated by and around not knowing. Purim is not knowing whatsoever. And even trying to know that we don't know. Pesach is knowing. The in-between process, the transitionary process between the not knowing of Purim and the knowing of Pesach is coming to terms with the fact that I don't know, yet overcoming the desire to not know anything at all and developing the skill to pretend that even though I don't know anything, I can still continue to know with every ounce of my effort, because now my attempt and quest at knowledge is thinned out and opened up with the laughter of knowing that I don't really know anything, but nevertheless, it's my job to try and know. And therefore, the vessel within the mind that the light of Purim is going to find expression into Pesach is that place, that point of collision, that paradoxical place where I know that I don't know anything at all, but I also know that there's a deeper secret of not knowing, which is that even though I don't know, I have to choose as if I know, because Nishmas Yisrael has the ability to pretend that it knows. And my job is to pretend that I know. And my job is to continue to live as if I know, even though I know that I don't know. Because the functionality of emunah begins to really apply when a person translates the not knowing completely into a vessel that can still pretend that it knows something. And that's the way that we draw the lights of Purim into Pesach, finding that place within ourselves that knows that it doesn't know, yet nevertheless chooses courageously to be moiser nefesh and pretend that it knows, to live with das, to live with das, to live with bechira, rather than to live in the place of yediya and no knowledge whatsoever of Purim. There's a mesiras nefesh of living as if I know, even though I don't know, which is the avodah of what a ben adam is. Ben adam is loy adam and adam at the same time. There's das and there's no das whatsoever, but we have the ability to translate the reality of not knowing into the semblance of acting or pretending or some element of becoming that is the perpetual process of a human being in its development through the process of mahu af'ata, mamish being like an ape in the face of the Shechina, kekoif b'fnei Shechina. That's what Purim teaches us, but what leading to Pesach teaches us is that place of acting, that place of pretending to know, even though I know that I don't know. Of holding on to that wooden sword, even though I know that the king knows that I don't have anything to fight with. And the way that this place expresses itself within the soul is the radical decision that begins as the firmly planted starting point. A starting point that is not based on anything other than the fact that it's a starting point. After coming to the cleared out field and the halal that emerges out of Purim, we come to realize that it is I who gets to plant the first tree. And the first tree, like Adam HaRishon emerging into Gan Eden, and Noah emerging out of the Teva, all of the attempts that we had to properly plant things after the Mabul, after the Purim, after the Chalal HaPanui, after all of those things, it is up to us, as the Tzaddikim teach us, to plant that first tree. And the first tree that a person plants is the tree of Emunah. When a person comes to a place of knowing that I don't know anything, the only thing that we can then pretend to know is Emunah, because Emunah is not built on anything known. It's knowing something that is so true, it's not built upon anything known. It's not dependent upon any known experience. It's not dependent upon any known evidence whatsoever. Emunah is something that emerges out of itself. Mineyubei, it comes out of itself. It's a koyach nifla, it's the nekuda hapnimis, the malchus, the lowest element and the highest element that is based upon nothing other than its mere existence. The source of faith is faith itself. That faith is dependent upon absolutely nothing. There's a faith of knowledge, there's a knowing that knows what I believe, it knows the Yud Gimel Ikra Emunah, it knows all of the details and the history and every element of what it means to know something, and all of that is the mitzvah of Emunah. And a person has a chiyuv to be mishtadel, to know everything there is about Emunah, through Pnimiyas HaTorah, through Machshava, through Chazal, through Torah Shebichsav, through every attempt at knowledge. But there's an Emunah that precedes that Emunah, there's an outer circle upon which the entirety of existence will take place within, which is the Emunah prior to knowing anything whatsoever. I agree to the Emunah even though I have no idea what I'm even believing in. Nafshi avis b'layla, I don't know anything. I'm stuck in the nighttime. But v'emunascha b'laylos, there's an Emunah that precedes all content. It's the frame of Emunah. It's the decision to live a life of Emunah in spite of the fact that I have no idea if I'll ever understand anything whatsoever. This I can be certain about. This I could live with. I can live with the certainty of being certain because my certainty is built upon absolutely nothing other than my decision to see this as certainty, to choose to certify my Emunah in spite of the fact that it's uncertifiable. This Emunah that precedes knowledge, this Emunah that precedes any body of wisdom is the Emunah, the choice to see every single thing within the framework of Purim, to see everything within the framework of Simcha and Emunah. To plant myself firmly in that place of an irreducible emunah that is built upon absolutely nothing other than the self-emergent process of the koach of a yid to believe in a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Memela, when I can say yes to emunah like that, specifically because it's not based on any pre-existing content, it can no longer be disproved by any emergent content because it's not dependent on any quality, it's not dependent on anything other than the radical choice to be ma'amin, to be ma'amin in my koach of emunah. It's not simply what I believe, but it's that I believe in the very fact that I believe, in spite of the fact that I don't know what believing even is. This secret of connecting to Emunah, not based on what I know, but connecting to Emunah simply by dint of the fact that I am choosing to create the framework, the positive framework, the affirmative framework within which every aspect of my continued existence is going to take place for today. Rabba Emunah Secha, for today, my Emunah is so big today, Rabbanu Shleilam. At that place of Moed Ani, we didn't even wash Netilas Yadayim yet. We didn't wash Netilas Yadayim yet. There's layers and layers of impurity upon a person. There's layers and layers of thinking I know and not knowing and thinking I know and not knowing and getting up and falling, getting up and falling. But in that Kodesh HaKadoshim of the Pnimius of Radla, as the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, B'kunshus Mohus Inyan Taurus HaChasidus, in the depths of the secret of Moed Ani, there's that place of Rabba Emunasecha. My Emunah is so big, it's a circle that's so big that it can contain even before Netilas Yadayim. I don't have to know. It's the Laila. I don't know. All I know is that I choose to have Emunah. This is the secret of David Malka Mashiach. David Malka Mashiach teaches us in Pasuk Lamed in Kapitel Kuf Yudes, Derech Amuna Bacharti Mishpatecha Shivisi. I have chosen the path of faith and I have placed all of your dinim, all of your laws in front of me through a state of equanimity. Derech Amuna Bacharti. David HaMelech is not opening himself up to any question. There is no question that can be asked because I have chosen this path. This path is based upon nothing other than the stubbornness of the neshama to choose the path of emuna, afalpi, all of the reasons, afalpi, all of the reasons, to firmly, with azus, the kedusha, and insanity, having eaten tainted wheat, having gone through what we've gone through, and deciding, rabba emunasecha, an emuna that extends itself far beyond any possibility of being limited, the elasticity of emuna that has the ability to absorb every shock within itself. At, always realizing that kesha adam nofel lemakom shenofel, wherever a person falls, you're never outside. You're never outside because if you're there, memela, the circle of emuna extends beyond you. Rabba emunasecha, that's the affirmation of the day. Why? Because derech emuna bacharti, I chose it. Kacha yaseh leish, kacha keser kol aksarim. Why? Because kacha, this is why. This is why. Don't ask me a reason why. Keser kol aksarim, the highest place is rabba emunasecha. Why do I believe? Because I believe. That's why. Now ask me questions. There's no question that could possibly be asked that can push a person away from the stubborn decision to radically have emuna in the emuna hasharashi. And Rabbi Nachman explains this secret of derech emuna bacharti. Rabbi Nachman explains what it means to have emuna even prior to having an emuna that's based on content. Rabbi Nachman writes in the 173rd teaching in the Likutei Maran Chelek Aleph, ki yesh bechinas shayrish emuna, that there's the aspect of the root of emuna, ki emuna ba'atzma. Because emuna itself, yesh l'chayis v'shoyrash. Emuna, like anything else, has a root source where it comes from. Ta'inu sheyesh oylem emuna. There's an ontological reality of emuna. There's an ontological reality of emuna where every single thing is true about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every single thing, every possible good thing is true, and every bad thing is removed. And there's no loss as a result of not having some concept and having some other concept restricted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Malei Koila HaFochen Be'achdus Shav, Be'achdus HaPashut, and this is only after 1,000 Simsums that we're beginning to speak this way. But it's Mechuyav HaMetzius, it's the Hischaivus Tamidus, it's the Chayk HaToiv LaHetiv, that through the belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is a real reality, irrespective of whether I know it or not, irrespective of whether I believe in it or not, irrespective of whether I feel it or not, there is a reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Hanhagos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expressing through the Hanhaga HaElyona of Atika and Arich and the secret of the Yichud HaElyon that's Neskala, no matter what. That's the oilam of emuna. That is disconnected from human experience. And my kfira doesn't do anything there. My not knowing doesn't do anything there. That emuna continues to exist. Rabba emuna secha, I have to just tap into the pre-existent reality of emuna. I have to have emuna in that pre-existing emuna. And memela, I can choose to have emuna in the pre-existing reality of emuna that I can never know. And that's the shorish of emuna. Ke emuna ba'atzma yesh l'chayis v'shorish. There is a world from which emuna comes from. Shemisham nilkach emuna. That's where emuna comes from. Ve'olam ha'emuna. In this world of emuna, yishle gam kein emuna b'Hashem Yisbarach. It's a gradational process. Our emuna is in one level. The malchus is a keser, which is really just a malchus. The emuna kolzos, after all knowledge, after Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, after all of the content-based emuna that we have, ultimately the emuna kolzos, the rabba emuna secha. There is nothing that will knock me off my game. And with that predecision, that rigging the game of choosing to believe in a Kaddish Baruch Hu in spite of all other external appearances, then Mamela, everything that comes my way during the day, already knows what it has to acknowledge at the end of the day. It can't admit to anything other than the radical, obstinate faith that I have in a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Mamela, everything will somehow, some way reaffirm that affirmation that I've confirmed even prior to the beginning. That's the Totsa'a of Purim. What comes out of Purim is the radical ability to live with a knowing that doesn't know anything other than the fact that it knows what it doesn't know fundamentally and clearly. The secret of tzaddik be'emunaso yichya. Even the tzaddik lives simply on emuna, because emuna is that mineyu be emuna is the secret ability of nishmas Yisrael to become what it truly is, which is just an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Metzias. The Shechina HaKadosh HaMalchus, which is emuna. The emuna kolzos, emunas Yisrael. Emunos, Deos ve'emunos, the fact that I am a process of emuna, of imun, the artistry of what it means to be a davar ne'eman, to have a faithful relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a faithful relationship that is based purely on faith and not knowledge. Knowledge is good. But knowledge will fall away, like we see on Purim. Memela, it's very important for there to be an emunah that exists all failings of knowledge. Why? Because this is how it has to be. What other derech is there? Derech emunah bacharti, David HaMelech says. And that's the only way I could say, kol mishpatecha shivisi. The Malbim HaKadosh says that David HaMelech had to come to a place where he realized, if I go in accordance with reason, then I'm lost. If I go in accordance with trying to understand and theoretically know why I'm choosing this fully, so then I'm lost. It's lamala mitam vidas. It's derech emuna bacharti. Once I've chosen to see the world through that lens, then I can process all other information and I can grapple with what I grapple with. But the jury is never out because the testimony is rab emuna secha. It's rigged completely. We are actors in a play where ultimately we'll always come back to the secret that emuna is irreducibly large. And the elasticity of emuna ensures that a person will always find themselves within the capacity of emuna. A person can always start from wherever they're at of rab emuna secha, because a person has never actually been outside of emuna. And when a person can radically affirm in this, the emuna kolzos, of derech emuna bacharti, I've chosen it, it's not based on anything. It's kacha yaseh l'ish asher melech hafetz bikaro. It's Esther loy magedes. I'm not even going to try and explain what it is, because the attempt to try and explain where emunah comes from is already to imply that there's a minimization of that shorish of emunah that can possibly be fit into words. And ultimately, shtika kohida, the deepest way of facing any apikorsis, is the shtika that Rabbi Nachman describes, that Moshe Rabbeinu encounters when he faces the chalal apanui, and it's specifically there that the nigun of emunah comes from. The song of emunah, which is the playfulness with which a human being who already knows that they won, even if I lose a million times, I've won, because in the end of the day, it's emuna, more emuna, more emuna, more emuna. There's no outside of emuna. The emuna kolzos, the emuna kolzos, the emuna kolzos, the emuna kolzos. Derech emuna bacharti, more emuna, rabba emuna secha. Ha'emanti ki adaber, because I said so. That's why I believe. It's not based on anything rational whatsoever. Again, Purim gives us an exposure to this moichin. The process out of Purim is learning how to live with this on a regular basis. When a person says Rabba Emuna Secha, what I am confirming is the biggest confirmation bias, which is saying yes to the world, of knowing that Yesh Bal Habira, knowing something so truly, deeply, because it doesn't matter if it's true or not. There's nothing that can possibly come away and take away the power of Emuna. Emuna is Lamala Mitam Vadas. Lamala Mitam Vadas, independent of all things. And it's that choice, that choosing to live with that emuna, that prerequisite to a good day, to the goodness that will only come to a person who has rabba emuna secha, the radical demand to affirm goodness. And then, once I've made that radical affirmation, l'malo mitam b'das, then to look at everything else with lights of das, then to know and know and know, but ultimately to have the deeper knowing that in the end of the day, rabba emuna secha, derech emuna bacharti, kacha yaseh l'ish asher ha'melech hafetz bikaro. And this could be why, when in the end of the Megillah, what we find is Rotzi L'roi V'chav, that ultimately the tzaddik comes back to a place after the radical revelation of this radical emuna that exists based on nothing other than its own existence. When it comes to the realization of Keli Keli Lama Azavtani, I have no content towards my emuna anymore. At that place, a person comes to a place of Kasher Avadati Avadati, I've lost my emuna, and then a person comes to find that they have emuna in their emuna. I can have emuna in my emuna, the emuna kolzos. And a person comes out a bigger ma'amin because they know that they know nothing. And they know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to continue to function as if we know that we, as if we don't know that we know nothing. Hashem wants us to live in the suspension of das, where we think that maybe, 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 if I try hard enough, I can come to know something. Hashem wants us to live in that suspended place where we forget the ultimate ignorance of man. Because the sha'ashuim come when I remember, ah, my emuna is so much bigger than my yediyah. I know absolutely nothing, and therefore the emuna can be the biggest, most expansive thing. There's nothing that can knock me off my game. Why? Because bacharti, I chose this. I chose this. Am hanivchar, beis habechira, a place of choosing, a place of affirming in spite of the lack of evidence. And that's the svara of Rov, Rav Shimshon Ufal Hirsch, Zchus Yogan Aleinu, Tzadik Yisrael Oilam, came to be Megala on one element where he writes about the svara of Rov. He says one of the biggest gifts that Chazal have given us is the reality of Rov, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us through Chazal, is the reality of Rov, which takes into consideration the fact that I don't know anything. I can't know everything with absolute certainty ever. Memela, once I have that basic understanding, now I have to figure out a way to live in accordance with the playfulness of knowing. And that's the svara of Rov, that you can live with a majority rule that in spite of the fact there's always the questionability of something changing and something being destabilized completely from what I previously assumed, That has to be the background, and then I can operate with the svara of rov, that it's a majority rule. What my eyes see gives me ground to walk upon, even though I know that it's merely appearances, even though I know that it's rakaha aratz olamayim, even though I know that Shushan Abir is really surrounded by Nahar Ulai. The secret of rov is the ability for a human being to live within a space of ignorance and to play with knowledge as if I know something, and to live in accordance with that pretending, because the opposite of rov is bore. It's an emptyless pit. A person can become this nihilistic denier of meaning because they think that there's no graspability of meaning. The secret of rov is being able to transform that not knowing and to allow it to be a functional model of living, where I live with not knowing in a space of knowing. So every decision is based on A, the emunah that I know absolutely nothing, and also the idea of, even though I know absolutely nothing, Hashem has given me room to try and know something, to bring sha'ashuim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the more I know, the more I come to realize that I don't know. And the svar of rov enables us to live in that place. And that could be ratzi l'roi v'chav. That Mordechai at Tzadik comes to teach, the Tzadikim always come to teach the principle of rov. Rambam comes to teach the principle of rov. That we're the rov. Every act that we have is machria. Machria letov. And this secret of ratzi l'roi v'chav, that there's a giloy of rov, the svar of rov, comes into metzias, which is that even though we don't know anything at all, we have to pretend that we know. And with this, we come into Pesach, and with this, we come into all of the pretending of the night of the Seder. All of the pretending of the night of the Seder, and all of the obstinate emunah that we continue to have, the emunah kol zos, that derech emunah bacharti, I have chosen this. There is absolutely nothing that can come and push a person out of the framework of seeing things in a positive lens as emerging from the best of what our tzaddikim have to give us and what the Torah has to give us, and living in that perspective. A person will not lose out on anything. Bein kachu, bein kachu, we have nothing. Bein kachu, bein kachu, we have nothing. Purim reveals that fundamentally clear. Memela, we have to work with what we have, which is the radical secret of emuna, the razid de meyamnusa, the emergence of emuna, mineyu bei, built upon nothing other than the fact that I'm a mammon right now. And at that point, a person is koyfer b'choyel of adizara in the world. And one moment is machriya, the metzias of a person's entire life. Person has one moment of emuna kolzos, of the elasticity of emuna, which a person can never actually fall out of. There's no reality at which a person actually falls out of it. Because einon milvado, ve'emuna kolzos, einon milvado, I don't know anything. But I still have to live as if I know something in order to get the Pesach, in order to know the difference between chametz and matzah. But this knowing, this delicate type of knowing, is choosing to know in spite of the fact that I don't know. It's an agnostic faith. It's a faith that takes into consideration every possible doubt and says, I don't care, because in place of all of those doubts, I am choosing to believe. Derech emunah b'charti. Derech emunah b'charti. And once a person enters into the gate, b'zois yavo al ha'aron. V'zois yavo ha'aron. This is how a person enters in the loylishma of choosing the emunah kolzos, rab emunah sach, even though I don't know anything. That's the entryway into the gate of experiencing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the pratim. That's the entry point of knowing nothing and then entering into the place of more moments of yediyah, of the makom ha'aron enam min amida. It's there and it's not there. It's real and it's fake at the same time. I believe because I believe because I believe because I believe. Kacha yaseh li'ish asher melech chafetz bikaro. And what this reveals is the ever-present nature and opportunity for a person to tap into the deepest level of emuna, no matter where they find themselves, and to affirm the goodness at the heart of all things, and to be mukushra to the chayo elamim, to the secret of Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai, to the secret that after we come to the knowledge of Baruch Haman and Ar Mordechai, then we come back with a fuller acknowledgement and a fuller stance on Baruch Mordechai and Ar Haman, that it's the tzaddikim, it's the rabba emunasech, it's the tzaddik yisoid oilam. The fact that in the Zohar HaKadosh, the entire world is suspended upon the flimsiness of the Levyasin's tail, Levyasin's fin. In Shas, however, we see that it's Tzadik Be'amunaso Yechya, and Tzadik Yisod Oilam, because the Yisod is built upon Emuna. It's built upon Emuna. It's nothing other than what it is. It's the choice that a person makes to live in accordance with this mindset. And the way that I see the world is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Megal himself to me. And this is the secret of the Emuna Kolzos, of Derech Emuna Bacharti. And we should be Zoicha to make our way towards Pesach Bezras Hashem with the artfulness and the playfulness of Emuna, to be Zoicha to Chirus Amiti Bezras Hashem.
You've been listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the OR Podcast Network. Inward was created by Rabbi Zach Kamenetz and is produced by Zev Gavriel. The music is by Zusha. You can help support the production of this podcast by visiting us online at orpodcasts.com.